Here without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The phrase that caught my eye was the preach the gospel of peace. As I was listening to our brethren this morning, you know, if you combine them messages and my thoughts this afternoon, I feel very inadequate. I feel there's many of you who could do a better job, but we will look to the Spirit to lead us and direct us in this topic. Peace is a state of being that most people enjoy. Most people enjoy that. The title is The Role and Challenge of a Peacemaker. Taking a peacemaker role is a challenge. I can't see how you can separate the role and the challenge. It's both in there. To be a role in peacemaking is a real challenge, especially if you have a conflict, okay? Especially if you have a conflict. But even though you don't have a conflict and you have controversial issues, it can be a challenge. Brethren, if we have the Prince of Peace in our hearts, that is the first step. Being a peacemaker starts with the heart. We will be successful only to the degree in which our hearts have been transformed from the natural to the spiritual, from the earthly to the godly, from the prideful interest in winning to the humble yearning of to honor God by bringing people to the oneness in Jesus. Being a peacemaker, we did not come into this fallen world as a peacemaker. You soon learn when a child is born, one of the first words he learns is no. You don't have to teach him that. That's the nature we are born with. No. Because our desire is self, promoting our own interests and achieving our own goals. If we're going to be a peacemaker, we must be changed to the core, our heart and mind. We must also experience the intervention of God in our hearts and break our selfishness and be a teachable spirit of love, a spirit of love in our hearts. This morning, we heard a number of times of selfishness. That probably is number one, probably the number one, that gets in the way of peace. I want it my way. Peace and love are twins. Can you have peace without love? Huh. Well, I'm not sure if it works in a spiritual sense. Maybe the world can in a sense. But love, if you're filled with love and you express it to others, it does bring peace. Love is not love until you give it away. So you got to be filled with it in order to give it away. And if I were to ask the question this afternoon, how many like conflict? You like conflict? Thank you. I don't either. I hate it. But you know, sometimes we have to face conflict. Christ did. I talked with Brother Steve, I believe it was Tuesday night, and he was telling me about his talking about my subject, and he was talking to me about, you know, Jesus, was it everything peaceful? No, it wasn't everything peaceful, but he was not promoting a non-peaceful spirit, but he was promoting truth. That's what he was promoting. That's what brought the unrest, because he was promoting truth. Now, is there a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? Over between North and South Korea, there is a line, I'm not sure what you call it, but there are UN troops that are watching each border, you know. They're watching, keeping peace, make sure they're just keeping peace. They're not making peace, okay? They agreed on some terms, but they're keeping peace. The third party is there. If it's no troops from either country, if it's a troops from other parts of the world that is trying to keep peace in that part of the world, that's a peacekeeper. A peacemaker wants to make peace and keep peace. We'll explain that a little later. Now, I'm just going to, beginning here, give one thing about a peacekeeper. I'm not going to spend much time on peacekeeping. I'm going to spend much more time on peacemaking. So let's put an illustration together for peacekeeping. You have three people. Number one person talks to number two person about number three person. Okay? And then number two person tells number three person what number one person said. And if it's not kind, if it's derogatory against them, it causes conflict between them two that didn't even talk to each other. All right? Get the point? That's not a peacekeeper. If someone keeps saying something like that to you about another brother, keep it to yourself. Okay? Keep it to yourself. That's confidential. You don't talk to the other brother. Hey, he said something about you about... If it's good, tell him. But don't irritate the situation. Now, peacekeeping, who is it for? I think our brother said it's for everyone. It's in family, marriage, business, church. Now, I'm not going to speak much about business. I do want to give one point on a business relationship. Business partners must be agreeable in practice as to how they conduct business. Having a peaceful relationship bleeds into work ethic and performance in the workplace. You understand, if you don't have a peaceful relationship in business partners, it bleeds into the employees. It does, simply does. And that is why we do not practice the unequal yoke in believers and business ventures. Because sooner or later, if an unequal yoke in a believer and unbeliever are in business practices, it soon gets shady, and then you have a disagreement. And then from there on it goes south. Now, I want to say one more thing about a peacekeeper. Usually, a peacekeeper tries to avoid all conflict at all costs. He doesn't even at times give his opinion or on a sensitive subject. But they're also, in them two words, there are similarities. They are both want to keep peace. Now, sometimes we say, in order to keep peace, I don't say everything that's on my mind. That's true. Can you be so honest, and have such a good relationship with someone that you say everything that's on your mind? I do to my wife. But can you with someone else be so honest that you say everything that's on your mind? I'll just leave you with that thought. First of all, I said that we must have our hearts in tune with the Prince of Peace. That gives us a rest for heart to begin with, we ourselves. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, where the peacekeeper, peacemaker, verses in there, Matthew 5. I want to start reading at verse 3 and verse 9. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'm not going to make many comments concerning these verses. But I was pondering over these verses, and the thought that came to my mind, Jesus gave a number of characteristics of a child of God and the characteristics of a peacemaker from verses 3, and then in verse 9 he injected, blessed are the peacemakers. Is that a mistake? Jesus didn't make a mistake. He gave the characteristics of a peacemaker. Then finally in verse 9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It's amazing. You know, about peacemaking, these are qualities that enhance him being an ambassador for Christ. In other words, an ambassador represents a country living in another country. That's what we are. We're living in one country and we represent a heavenly country. Jesus clearly underscores that only those who have the qualities of the first of the changed life are citizens of his kingdom. We are sons and daughters of God's kingdom, but we must be born again, born in to God's family, in order to be called the children of God. So I think we understand the characteristics of a peacemaker. You know, our attitudes about others and about ourselves is a very important fact about peacemaking. I'll say that again. The attitude about others and ourselves is a very important factor in peacemaking. How we think of ourselves and how we think of others is a factor in peacemaking. If we too think too highly of ourselves, it'll come out. Personally, what and how we think of ourselves finally will be displayed when we try to help others. These here verses here indicate that it takes a meek and a quiet spirit. We are not self-defensive. We let truth settle the matter. Because truth makes us free. We humbly respect each other. We must be very, how would you say, very, if I can get my thoughts right, concerning other people's ideas. We must be very sensitive, but we must always go to truth as when we make peace. Now there's one more. I want to go to Matthew 18 and read just a few verses there. Matthew 18, here's also Jesus speaking concerning his, and at the same, we'll read the first four verses in Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall be humble himself as a little child, The same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The thought that I want there is, you know, here, Jesus was the greatest that there was on earth. He didn't say, well, what, look at me. He didn't say that, did he? He said, he just brought a little child. Now, what do we learn from a little child? A child is humble and dependent on their parents. We must be humble and dependent upon God. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be also tempted. There it has the thought of the idea of being a spiritual person to help another person, but yet in the meekness, in a temperate, in a very humble way, trying to help. The point that you want to help the brother is to finally restore the understanding between two people and to bring redemption. That is the most key to being a peacemaker. Humility is what fertilizes the soul of our heart in which to prepare a home for Christ to live. Humility. You know, brothers and sisters, that's probably one thing we don't get enough. Humility. And I'm included. Well, we asked the question, who are the peacemakers? Well, I don't think anyone is exempt from that. We can be a father, we can be a pastor, we can be a school teacher, we can be an employee, an employer. Hey, we all are included in the program. Now, I'm going to go to John 14:27. Jesus brought also another thought out here. John 14:27. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These were one of the last days of Jesus' life on earth. Jesus spoke much about peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now notice what the next few words says, not as the world giveth. So there must be a different kind of peace. There are two different kinds of peace that Jesus was referring to. The peace that Jesus was referring to is a peace with God. That's a different peace than what the world gives. The world gives peace between men. And what the greatest peace man can have is peace with God. Then we can have peace with men. And after we have peace with God, then peace with men is possible. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now the word follow there would mean pursue, chase after. It's like a person pursuing after another person in a chase. You have a desire to get it. Pursue, follow after peace. Pursue it. Is there any given situation that you can have two opposing people be wrong, or two opposing people being right? I'll say this about that. Most times, if there's any given situation as of that matter, probably they both don't, are misunderstood on both sides. Now, I want to give a few points concerning the role of a peacemaker. And the only place I know to go to is the scriptures. And Genesis, there is just a beautiful illustration how God did it. I just love how God did it. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? What did God do? He said, Adam, where art thou? He asked a question. He didn't say, Adam, I seen that. Why did you do that? I told you not to do that. So often we're like that. I told you that's going to happen if you do that. No. What did you do? Where art thou? Where are you? That brought other questions. You know, that's that. As we have situations in the mat, just ask questions. Not pointed questions, just ask questions. God simply asks a question. Ask questions to a ponder. Not ask questions to accuse, but or provoke defense, you know, or accusations. In Proverbs 10:12 says, hate stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. So we say that redemption is the final goal. Now, this my next point should have been probably number one point. I'm not what you call a good preparer from sermons. As I go through my sermons, oh, here should be here should be there, and I'm not a techie person that can go and do that. I write everything out. So, anyway, bear with me. Maybe not the first point should have been prayer. Did you ever pray for a situation you didn't address it right away? I know a situation comes to my mind. I didn't address it right away. I kept praying, and it got solved. Whew! You know, prayer works, brethren, sisters. Prayer does work. Cured by prayer. That should be the first number one step. Now, sometimes when situations arise, conflicts arise, we like to think of justice, don't we? Justice. But let's leave that in the hands of God. Let's leave that in the hands of God. Just think of God, just think of Jesus just for a moment. When he was on earth, he had every right to be God. Every right. Did he defend himself? Or did he take for wrong? Or did he suffer for wrong? He didn't suffer for wrong. That's wrong. He just suffered. For us, he didn't defend himself. I'd rather suffer for something that I didn't do than suffer for something that I did do, and that's scriptural. Jesus did the very same thing. So let's not demand justice. That is in the hands of God, because when we demand justice, we get it all wrong. We get it all wrong. Finally, God does the judgment. Okay, another role of a peacemaker is to bring men together. Now, it's interesting. As we can sit over the crowd here, I can look at the youth and think, well, we all have differing opinions. That's a fact. We all have differing opinions. We all have, number of us, have different backgrounds. We have different mindsets. How's we were taught back there, okay? All had different mindsets, a lot of us. Some of us come from old order background. Some come from conference. We all have different mindsets. We were taught different. So, as we come together, when the early church started, that was a challenge, brethren. Just think what the Jews had to accept the Gentiles into the church. That was a real challenge. Jesus even called them the dogs. One lady. But it took a vision of Peter to finally to accept that the Gentiles would be also engrafted in to the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. That is the verse that I was thinking about concerning Jew and Gentile, and also as we, the middle wall partition, when Christ was crucified, the wall was broken down, it was rent in twain, and we had access. Jew and Gentile alike had access to God through Jesus Christ. Often, relationships break down because of inner struggles of selfish desires. Often, that's how relationships break down. And then, how do you handle inner pressures that build up and show its colors? How do you handle that? Now, I'll give you a challenge right now. The title is also challenge. Suppose you have two, three people meeting together, and they have you're discussing the matter, and you get accusations coming your way. And hardest challenge for me is try to keep calm. Keep calm. You know how you say it makes a big difference if you're going to make peace. That's a challenge. A peacemaker will seek God to reveal his heart, to console differences and eliminate strife. You know, we as poor men cannot probably change another person's mind. Only God can do that. We can be that vessel, that go-between, in order to give an influence that they choose right. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. The Holy Spirit that strives within the conscience for the good that can overcome the bad. Now, I want to say one more thing here. Think of any given situation when a peaceful relationship was restored. I'm going to ask a question. Were you won by law or were you won by love? Think about it. Were you won by law or were you won by love? Did Jesus, when he convicted you, did he win you by law or did he win you by love? He won me by love. You can't preach fear of hell into a person to assume to accept Christ. That's, you gotta preach love. Yeah, the other will be realized. But love is what draws people to make a right decision. So, concerning relationships, suppose you have a neighbor that is unhandy and you try to make peace. What is one thing you can do, sisters? Make whoopie pies and take whoopie pies over your neighbor. Why did I say that? It's hard for people to resist love. If you show love, they don't know what to do with it. They simply don't know what to do with it. It just, you know, it just stuns them, because that's not really what they expect. Remember the prodigal son? His father? When the son came back, he just open arms received him. He didn't say, son, if you would have listened to me, this wouldn't have happened. He just open arms received him. That's how our God the Father does too. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after things which make peace and things thereof may edify one another. Now another key, practice restraint with your tongue. I think we did do some of them. I did say a few things about that. I should read James 1:19-20, very familiar verses. James 1:19-20. Therefore, my beloved brother, if every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, I think what James here was instilling on here was slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, swift to hear. We have two ears and one mouth. I think if we practice to listen before we talk, it would help us a great bit in keeping peace. I often told my children, put this thing in gear, then put this thing in gear. And that I have to remind myself. Listen. Self-expressions is one of the leading idols of society. Express yourself. Say what you think, say how you feel. Dye your hair green. Express yourself. Be self-control is one must be God-controlled. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, grievous words stir up anger. Point number five, we must pursue peace on God's term. First of all, God did not violate righteousness in loving us. He did not compromise his character to bring peace, because he did not ignore sin to bring us to himself. Instead, he honored his eternal standards of righteousness. He sent his son to die for us. Now, what we mean by that, God said, if you sin, you die. That was the standard. That God set the standard. Therefore, he sent his son for death in order to bring peace. So, in other words, to have restored peace with God, the perfect Lamb of God had to sacrifice his life for the sins of mankind. Number six, we must stay within the bounds of righteous methods. There are right ways and wrong ways of relating. God calls his people to stay within the bounds of righteousness. In Corinthians 13:1 shows us to love. Love shows respect and well-being of the other person. Our love for God also overflows of the loving others. I see my time is about up here. I don't want to make a whole lot of more words, but there's probably a lot more that could be said. Number one, as we are relating with peace to one another, we must speak the truth. And like we said in earlier points, that Jesus had to speak the truth and therefore did not always be accepted by others, therefore brought conflict. And that's another verse, I don't come to mind where it is, where we're odds against father against daughter and daughter against son, you know where that verse I'm talking about. That is when someone makes a choice for Christ and it brings conflict in the family. Who are we going to serve first? Are we going to serve God first? Or are we going to please family first? God got to be focused number one in our life. Therefore, it will bring conflict in family. Supposing if you are living in a Muslim country. Well, I got three points here yet concerning the role and challenge of a peacemaker. Self must be off the throne. Number two, love for God and the love for others. And number three is restoring relationship. Peace is the power of the gospel and the tribute to the Prince of Peace. To see two formerly conflicting people confessing their failures and seeking and coming together in tears of joy to the realization of forgiveness and love. That is a beautiful picture. Amen. When Jesus is truly among us, peacemaking is an ongoing part of our experience as we grow from immaturity to maturity and as we move from carnal to spiritual directed ways of speaking and acting. God bless you as you be a peacemaker.